It is Community Week all this week on Northland Morning, leading up to today's MCCU Twin Ports Bridge Festival. We've been talking with all kinds of folks this week who work in the community and work in areas of social sustainability and social and community growth. Shane Bauer, the head of the Bridge Festival, had the idea for the original Twin Ports Bridge Festival back in 2011, but he had the idea while listening to a speech about equality given by Xavier Bell, who's the Director of Community Engagement for Community Action Duluth. And Xavier Bell joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Xavier. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a good day.
It is a good day. It's a little chillier than we've had, but it's kind of welcome for me. I don't like the heat so much. So.
You and I are kind of on different planes because I enjoy the heat, but I'll take every bit of warmth possible before the winter sets in.
It's going to set in sooner than I think we all care to admit. It seems sometimes it comes sooner and sooner. Well, I don't know if you recall, I guess we'll start there with what speech you were giving in 2011, because I know you engaged in the community a lot and talked to a lot of people. What speech it was that Shane Bauer was listening to that gave him the idea for the Bridge Fest?
You know, I went on his website and read a little bit about that situation, and we've been really engaged in community over the last 10 years in looking at issues and educating the community around concerns of marginalized folks, promoting equity, promoting equality. The situation that I recall was it was probably at the Leadership Duluth Summit. Okay. And so we've had an opportunity to work with leaders around the community to educate them and provide them some context about how they can come on board, assist individuals who are struggling, but at the same time, it's not necessarily helping people. It's always been about gaining insight about things that you don't know about. Mm. The weird part about poverty and inequality and or aspects of oppression is that when you're experiencing an issue, you have a lens. And so you gain insight about situations that are taking place as a result of your experience. When you're not experiencing it, you have a lens. The awkward part when it comes to addressing any kind of concern, or in particular two opposing perspectives or bringing people to the table, is that people don't listen to each other. We spend our time sharing our perspectives, sharing our points of view, and never really giving an opportunity for the opposite side and or the opposing perspective or opposite perspective to be shared. And so our primary focus has been over the years is to give voice to concerns that mostly marginalized folks have, and then challenge people who have not been marginalized or are in positions of influence or power to listen and learn.
Well, there's as you say, talk. There's listening, and then there's hearing, but then there's listening. And I think that you can sit at the table and share those issues back and forth, but to really have somebody really get it, understand what the other person is really saying, I think you can kind of put on a surface of empathy, but not really see it through the same lens.
Yeah, that's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's you listen for understanding. And hopefully you listen to be challenged and encouraged and or moved to action, some type of action, even if it's a level of empathy and understanding and acknowledgement of another person's experience. Right. But yeah, we spend a whole lot of time listening in order to move on to the next thing.
It's also when you put your feet to the pavement and really get some work done. I mean, the talking is I think, a great step. And Community Action Duluth continues to not only create those conversations, but to move to the next level and try and get things moving, on the ground, so to speak.
We have a primary focus of engaging community. I mean, that's really what we do in the broad scope of our mission. We focus on four areas to assist individuals in becoming involved, both the people who are experiencing the issues of poverty and specifically, and people who aren't. First is we help people build assets from a financial perspective. Mm. So when you learn about your money, you learn about the power that you have pertaining to the development of wealth or getting yourself into a place of financial stability so you can become a lot more aware of how to engage in community in different ways. So we provide education on money management. We assist individuals in purchasing homes through a process called FAME. We assess individuals in going back to school and investing in a business, which is a big priority for us this year. Because a lot of folks who are working poor have a second income or a second revenue stream. And so usually it's some type of micro business. And so we're really focusing on helping to move that forward, too, especially in our economy, in a tourist economy, tourism economy. It's a big deal. The second thing we are focusing on is employment assets. So assisting individuals in not only finding a job. There are lots of jobs out there, and there are a lot of people working. The unfortunate part is that we have a high percentage of people who are considered working poor, working one and two jobs and still not making it, primarily because of the wages that are being paid to individuals here.
Yeah.
And so what we're challenging folks to look at is how can you take that job focus and move towards more of a career track, long-term occupation? Do you need to augment that by going back to school? Are there other options that you have so that you can feel good after you spent 8, 12, 15 hours at work?
Right.
You go home and you want to enjoy your family. I think that's the American way.
or God forbid, get 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah, sleep would be good. Yeah. Yesterday I got 9 hours of sleep and I was just like, wow. I had to text people and said, I got 9 hours of sleep and I'm feeling good about that today.
Yeah, that is great.
But the third thing we do is we assist it. We have this progressive process of engagement we call green assets. And so if you drive around Duluth, you'll see signs that say seeds of success. And they're usually in vacant lots or plots around the community that have, in some ways been forgotten. And what we're doing is we're re-energizing the value of learning how to grow your own food and having fresh food. And so those gardens around Duluth, that's us. And we're providing ways for individuals who have never sunk their hands into the soil and learned how to grow things an opportunity to make that happen. At the same time, we provide opportunities for folks who are marginalized to have access to fresh foods, fresh fruits and vegetables.
Right.
That's important. And unfortunately, the cost of those items are not usually accessible or not readily available for individuals.
Right.
And in some areas of town, we have what are known as food deserts. We work in Lincoln Park, and so that's a food desert out there, and we're doing our best to change it. And there are some areas there are some things that are happening. We have a bus that we actually partnered with the DTA and efforts from Fair Food Access, a great initiative that's moved forward, to bring the DTA into partnership to help people have access to the grocery stores. And that's a way to help solve that problem. But the bigger issue is to increase access in Lincoln Park. Maybe by putting a grocery store there would be great, because transportation is an issue.
Right. Wasn't there a farmer's market, too?
There's a farmer's market out there. And so it became obvious that the demand was there for fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mm.
And we also became aware of the fact that there's a learning curve. When you've never had access to a certain type of food, not always are you aware how to cook it or how to put that into your diet. And so there's an opportunity for people to talk to each other and share perspectives and share insight and ideas, which is primarily why we do business the way we do. We engage community to start bringing down these silos and these walls that are created in between us. And then the final thing we do, the fourth thing we do is want to know is help people build social assets. And that's primarily my role at Community Action Duluth. And we do that in a couple of ways. Community meetings. We have a process called Big View that is a monthly community forum. It's great, because it provides ways for people to get to learn about the issues that are impacting people in poverty. And it provides a way for folks to organize and mobilize, if they choose to address a concern. When we talk about organizing and mobilizing, what we primarily do is we bring people to the table and keep people at the table.
Yeah.
So that we're working together as opposed to fractions or getting awkward and weird, because a lot of times people are very forthright about their perspective. But again, what we do is we say, hey, you have a lens, you have a perspective. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong, because there's an opposite perspective that you may not have heard. And so let's entertain that idea and really talk through what we can do in order to make our community better. And then we do some leadership development, and then we're moving forth a new initiative here in the, it'll be starting in the fall, and I'd love to come back and share a little bit about that in the future. I'd love to kind of go into that. But overall, community actions, our mission is to engage people in order to really start to find some creative, innovative ideas to move forward in our community.
I imagine, too, that there's a certain kind of momentum, like a flywheel, that once small programs start to succeed and other programs come into play and the conversation continues, and hopefully over time that momentum builds up an inertia that continues the growth, that helps sort of speed along the growth. Like money begets money, the work that you're doing will flower into more and more work.
We've seen that. We frame the reality of poverty broadly. Poverty is not just about money, but it is a lack of money, but it's also a lack of meaning purpose. When you're experiencing poverty, sometimes you have dreams and ambitions, and you just find, whether it be the systemic nature of poverty, which is a real thing, there are structural and systemic things that promote poverty, regardless of what people have said. There are barriers there. But there's also the reality of personal commitment and personal achievement. So, I mean, those, you have to balance those things. But when you experience a lack of meaning in your life, then it's really hard to figure out where you're going. So it's the lack of money, it's the lack of meaning, and then it's the lack of significant relationships. The reality of class is a real thing. Yeah. You can stand across, you can go to any city and see where the wealthy live and see where the middle class folks live and see where the poor live. And then if you put race on top of that, you can see where Hispanics live and you can see where, you know, black people live. And you can see those barriers, those systemic, we call them impediments, those systemic impediments in a community. And so when you add that to the equation and you say that poverty is a lack of money, a lack of meaning, and a lack of relationships, people are isolated at the end of the day. We can live our whole life. I'm a West Coast guy, moved here about, well, this is my 11th winter up here.
Okay.
And a guy said, once you're here 10 years, you might as well consider yourself a Duluthian. So I guess I've hit the mark.
There you go.
But what I've come to realize is that we're kind of an isolated community. We don't spend a whole lot of time together, which is why the Bridge Festival is such a cool idea. That's why Shane has this thing on lock, honestly. He's created a way to bring people together across race and across class lines, across gender lines, across all of these impediments in society, to have a good time and to really focus on an issue that, and he always has a different issue each year, but focus on an issue this year that's really resonating with our community. And so if he's, as a community member and as a leader, is willing to take up that charge and do that, we're all supportive of that. Absolutely.
It's redefining bullying this year, and the theme didn't surprise me, but I guess it did raise my eyebrows a bit. It's a big bite to chew on in some ways, because it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with, it does, but it doesn't have necessarily to do with class, race, gender. It's any, you know, we're trying to understand what bullying is about, because it comes in so many forms and across between so many different types of people.
Absolutely.
Even people who have everything in common, there can be a bully in a relationship. And trying to redefine it, to me, seems a Herculean task.
Well, that's Shane.
Yeah.
I bringing to light an issue so large in our community is ambitious, but it's been a wise focus. I'll share some perspectives and some insight. Is about 6 months ago, maybe it wasn't that long ago, honestly, maybe it was about 3 months ago, Shane, myself, and administrators from ISD 709 had a conversation about the idea that Shane wanted to move forward. What he wanted to do was to host the Bridge Festival, but really figure out a way to shed light and assist individuals who are being bullied in the schools in particular, mm-hmm. But more broadly, and individuals who were the bullies. And so we sat down and we were able to, in some ways, partner with ISD 709 to provide a way for students to come in and be a part of this process, but also to provide some focus on what bullying and our approach to bullying could be in the future. Well, first of all, what bullying is what he's seen, and in some ways I've bought into this. I can see it. Is the bully is the person who is hurting, honestly. Mm-hmm. That's the person who is either insecure, or feels a sense of loss, or feels a lack of power or ability. And so in order to make themselves feel good, better, more than, equal, they will impose their perspectives or views on another individual. And inevitably what ends up happening is it creates an area of tension or an atmosphere of tension. And the person who's being bullied is usually the person who receives the brunt of that. To the person who's being bullied, coming to terms with the fact that, oh my goodness, if you're experiencing that, then you must be pretty powerful. And you must have really cool insight, and you must be very resilient in order to attract that kind of attention.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
You know, because at the end of the day, you're being noticed by someone who in some ways is insecure about your own abilities and, you know, their own abilities. And so the bully, the person who's being bullied has to come to terms with their own power and their own ability to navigate that. Now, is the extent of bullying that takes place, especially in America and especially in recent a situation where there was a race-based bullying situation at Denfield High School, where a young man was defamed and there was a noose drawn around his neck, and you know, it became a point of concern for our community, both from the standpoint of the young people who were involved who did it, and from the young person who experienced it. The interesting thing about this perspective is that our goal, I believe, as a society, is to restore people, not to be punitive. There is a level of restoration, though, that needs to take place that is consistent and allows an individual to gain insight about how they can get on a different path. So I'm not saying brush over a situation, and I'm not saying just let it lie. There has to be a reaction. But the reaction has to be one of restoration so that you can engage back in society. To the person who's being bullied, coming to terms with the fact that if you have been, especially when it comes to the issues of race, because it's so complex, we've never as a community sat down and defined what race is. It is a man-made social construct. That's what it is. However, are there repercussions as a result of that man-made social construct? Yes, there are. Mm-hmm. That's where the isms come in. That's where the marginalization comes in. That's where the systemic stuff comes in. That's where you can see different parts of town. Is that taught? No. Wonder why? Because it's a part of our psyche, our being, our environment around us. And so in the same way that you can look at a person who's experienced marginalization and say, wow, there are other contributing factors that we need to look at and redirect, is the same way Shane is saying, we need to look at the bully in that way and really come to terms with a way in which we can come alongside of this individual and assist them and in changing their behaviors. But more importantly, changing their psyche, changing their perspective, not only about society but about themselves, because at the end of the day that's where the pain is, honestly. That's where the issue is,
right? Well, I think that's where the change has to happen.
That's where the change has to happen. You had shared a little story, you know, about that, your experience in that, and so I mean that's a big deal. I mean, people have experienced that, and so how do you move on from that as an individual? How do you move on from that as a society? Well, we have to look at it honestly, equitably, and implement process in order to kind of move forward as a community by not only punitive actions, but by civil action and by humane action. So I'm really encouraged about what Shane is doing. He's He's an unbelievable leader in our community. He's what I've seen him do is to take a little bit of something and make it grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
Xavier, it's great to hear from you this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Xavier Bell, our guest is Wrap Up Community Week this week here on Northern Morning. All this week leading up to the Bridge Festival this evening, we've been talking with all kind of folks working in the area of social sustainability. 8:23 is the time. We'll have Back at Almanac up in just a moment here on 103.3 KMD.